Today's broadcast of Bagels and Blessings has been previously recorded at an earlier time. Shalom Chaverim, that's Hebrew for hello, friends, and Shabbat Shalom, that's Hebrew for Sabbath peace. This is Ethel Chadwick. Welcome to another week of Bagels and Blessings. I'm really excited about today's program. I had the pleasure of interviewing Donna Milgaten. She wrote many songs that you've heard before, especially Baruch et Adonai, Blessed Are You. That song became famous when Paul Wilbur recorded it. Well, Donna wrote that as well as some other beautiful songs, so I'm going to share some of her music today and you'll get to hear my interview with her. So stay with me and I'll be right back. Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Congregation Shema Yisrael. We are a messianic congregation made up of Jews and Gentiles who believe that Jesus, or Yeshua, is the promised Messiah. Our services contain Jewish liturgy and Davidic dancing, and we celebrate the Feasts of Israel. We meet at Wallace Hall, Brighton Presbyterian Church, 1775 East Avenue at 11:30 a.m. on Saturday mornings. Please join us for worship. Shalom, shalom aleichem. Shalom, shalom Yerushalayim. Shalom, shalom Yerushalayim. Shalom, shalom Yerushalayim. Shalom, shalom Yerushalayim. Shalom, 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 Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I'm so excited to introduce music that Donna wrote. Let's start with the one that Paul Wilbur made famous. Now, he calls it Blessed Are You, and the complete title from Donna is Blessed Are You, O Lord Our God, Baruch Hu. Enjoy!
With everlasting love, you have
Yes, folks, Donna Milgaton is the composer of that beautiful song, and I gotta tell you, I love it, I love it, I love it. And did I mention that I love it? Anyway, here's a word from Upper Cervical Chiropractic. Have you been looking for a chiropractor in Rochester? Unlike conventional medicine, which focuses on attempting to treat disease once it occurs, the Upper Cervical Chiropractic care offered at Upper Cervical Chiropractic of Rochester emphasizes the importance of improving your health in an effort to reduce the risk of pain and illness in the first place. They will help you express life fully. They have been offering high-quality upper cervical chiropractic care to Rochester and upstate New York since July 2013. With state-of-the-art complete postural cone beam CT scans and complete neurological diagnostic testing equipment, they work to determine if they're what you need to get your life back. If you would like to find out if they can help your next year to be better than the last several, please book a no-charge consultation and initial examination today. Get your life back. Give them a call at 585-474-3739. Upper Cervical Chiropractic Care of Rochester, located at 1280 North Winton Road. Check them out online at www.ucccroc.com and tell them you heard about it on Bagels and Blessings. So those of you with a really good memory will recall that a few times a year I play a song called Forgiven by an artist called Ray Chernoff. Well, Ray was part of this group called Water to Wine, and Donna was a member of that group and wrote many of the songs on the CD. And the next song that I want to feature that she wrote is called Blessed Are the Eyes.
Prophesied by God's hand, but could not understand. When they foretold the good news, they were serving you, preparing the way for the Lord in our day. Their light shines in the dark until the morning star dawns in your heart. Blessed are the eyes. you see, and blessed are the ears that hear what you hear, and the heart that sings when it receives its King, and overflows with the joy that salvation brings. Blessed are the eyes.
Yes, we are blessed, especially blessed to hear this beautiful music from Donna Milgaten. All right, wow, I bet you're thinking, what else did she write? Well, she wrote a song called Abba. Let's listen to that next. This is Ethel Chadwick. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. There won't be a bagel contest today. I am not live in the studio. I hope to be back in the studio next week, but I hope you're enjoying this beautiful music by Donna Milgaten, and my interview with her is coming up shortly. Right now, here's a word about Excellent Air Heating and Cooling. I'd like to thank Excellent Air Heating and Cooling for sponsoring Bagels and Blessings. Give them a call today at 585-889-7840. They're a family-owned and operated business. Their prices are fantastic. They will take care of your air conditioner in the summer and your furnace in the winter. Give them a call today because they love the Lord and they are excellent. Excellent Air Heating and Cooling, 585-889-7840. This next song is called Mary, Daughter of Israel. If you're hungry and in the mood for something different, I highly recommend the Europa Cafe and Deli. It's at 1694 Penfield Road. They're open Mondays, Tuesdays, Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Wednesdays and Fridays from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., Sundays from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Europa Deli is a gourmet food store that specializes in European foods from countries such as Russia, Ukraine, Moldova, Bulgaria, Germany, Poland, ex-Yugoslavia, and more. They have an extensive variety of imported foods, smoked meats, seafood, cheese, pastries, and more. Their cafe and bakery has the most delicious baked items. You just have to try it. Europa Cafe and Deli, 1694 Penfield Road. Call them at 585-385-2040. Come in and tell them that you heard about it on Bagels and Blessings. Shalom.
Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shema Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Your tax-deductible contributions will help keep this program on the air. Make checks out to Shema Yisrael, that's S-H-E-M-A-Y-I-S-R-A-E-L, and please put Bagels and Blessings on the memo portion of your check. Send your contributions to Bagels and Blessings, Post Office Box 192, Scottsville, New York, 14546-0192. And come and experience Messianic worship in person Saturday mornings at 11:30 at Brighton Presbyterian Church, Wallace Hall, 1775 East Avenue, across from Wegmans.
We would love to have you come and worship with us. We are limited to the first 40 to 42 people that show up because we have chairs spaced apart. We are doing the whole 6 foot apart thing, complying with regulations, wearing masks. We're being very clean. But having said that, we would love to have you come and worship with us. All right, we have time for one more song before the interview, and this is another one of Donna Milgayton's wonderful songs, The Lord is My Shepherd.
To leave. He supplies all my needs. He makes me lie down in pastures of green.
Okay, here's my interview with Donna Milgaten. Donna Milgaten, welcome to Bagels and Blessings.
Thank you so much, Ethel. It's such an honor to be here, and I really am just blessed to be here with you.
Well, I am very blessed, especially when I found out that you are the composer for Blessed Are You, Baruch Et Adonai. Tell me about your childhood. Did you grow up in a typical Jewish home?
I did not. I married into a Jewish family when I was 18 years old, but I grew up in a nominally Christian home in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and although I don't think there were a lot of Jewish people there, I had Jewish friends the whole time I was growing up. My best friend across the street was Jewish, and then later in high school I had very close Jewish friends. But I grew up in one of those denominations where they didn't really teach the gospel as much as just it was more like a social gospel kind of a thing. And I had some experiences in that upbringing where at one point I decided that I just didn't believe this. You know, I decided that it was very hypocritical. We had been on a retreat, and I had asked the youth pastor, which I think, looking back, I think was a pretty perceptive question, but I asked, you know, if people just try to live the way that Jesus said to live, but they don't, you know, what difference does it make if they believe in things like the virgin birth and things like that? And the youth pastor said to me, well, actually, those things aren't really true. And the pastors just tell the people that because they know that's what they want to hear. And so being 16 years old and hearing that, it just seemed like a sham. And so I just said, well, I think I'm done with this. And I just decided that I was agnostic and not even sure that I believed in God.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Okay. You already answered a question I had in my mind, because the minute you said Oklahoma, my first thought was they had Jews there, and you said there was one across the street from you. I'm like, wow, shows you what I know.
Well, later on, I was talking to Moish Rosen about this at some point, and he immediately knew exactly how many Jewish people were in Tulsa, Oklahoma at that point in time, and it was a lot more than I realized. But yeah, I was very always had friends that were Jewish, so
that's cool. All right, so you were kind of disillusioned a little bit when you were a teenager. So what brought you back to the Lord, and how did you get involved with Messianic music?
So probably a year or two, I guess probably the next year after this happened, I was on my high school newspaper staff, and I was doing an article on an organization called Zero Population Growth, and I went, they had an office at the University of Tulsa, and I went to do the interview, and as I was walking back to my car, I met my husband, who was not my husband at the time. He and a friend of his, who's still a dear friend of ours to this day, were sitting, taking a break on the steps of the University of Tulsa Law School Library, and they were having a discussion, and they pulled me into the middle of it, and they were like, hey, you come over here. And then I just ended up, for some reason, going over and talking to them, and then that's how I met my husband, and we kept talking, and then we eventually got married when I was 18 years old and moved to California, and I I majored in biochemistry at UCLA. And so it was while I was at UCLA that there were people there that were handing out, and I talked to some of them years later, that were handing out Jews for Jesus literature. And I was at a point in my life, I came to a point in my life after graduating with my degree, and I worked for a company called the Aerospace Corporation and did research on satellite batteries and rocket fuel. And then I got to a point where I just felt like there was something missing in my life, that, you know, I had all these things that, you know, that seemed like I was doing well, but there was just a deep hole there. And so I started just researching like all these different religions and going to different, what I do know is the Lord totally protected me, because some of it just went right over my head, and he really protected me from getting sucked into all of the things that you could get into a lot of trouble investigating in Los Angeles during that time period. And so, someone across the hall from me that worked in the lab where I was working gave me his testimony and asked me to pray with him, and I didn't really take it that seriously. But after about a year after that, I started going to a Bible study that he was teaching at lunchtime, and I was also going to this crazy church that was nominally Methodist but was really crazy out there. And I at some point, I realized that they were both calling themselves Christian, but they weren't the same. And the Lord really showed me through a series of events and drew me to Himself. And I've just been so blessed that He did that.
All right. So you mentioned Jews for Jesus. Were you drawn to them, or did they?
So they just handed me the literature, and I remember talking to them, but I was talking to a lot of other people, but I think I still had the literature. And then because I had married into this very close, extended family of my husband's Jewish family, and just loved him and his family so much that, you know, to see that there were Jewish people that believed in Jesus was, you know, really touched me. And so that was one of the first things that the Lord used to open my heart back up to be even open to hearing about him.
Now, what was your husband's family, what was their opinion of Jesus?
So they were very, his immediate family was very non-religious Jewish family. And so they, you know, he had a bar mitzvah, and they would always go to holidays like seders and things like that at one of their aunt's houses. And so they had many, many aunts in their extended family and uncles and people that were called aunts that were just very close friends of the family. And so none of them believed in Yeshua. And, you know, when I became a believer, they were just fairly tolerant of it. And so, they weren't super religious, and they loved me. And so they weren't really open to Yeshua, but they accepted the fact that I was a believer, and they didn't seem to upset them that much. And so I just, but for me, it was such an eye-opening. I just fell in love with the Jewish Messiah, and just to all of a sudden the Bible and everything made so much more sense being seen from that Jewish perspective. And, you know, I right away met other Jewish believers after I became a believer and started celebrating Hanukkah and things like that. So, because my husband wasn't very, at that time, didn't really celebrate Hanukkah or any of the Jewish holidays. He wasn't that involved in being Jewish, but in his heart, he, you know, he was a Jew to the core and still is. So, yeah.
I gotcha. Well, Donna, tell me a little bit about your musical knowledge or training, because you've been involved in some wonderful music projects. And all right, the cat's going to be out of the bag. Ladies and gentlemen who are listening to Bagels and Blessings when this show does air, of course, Donna is the composer for the song Blessed Are You that Paul Wilbur recorded, and Messianic congregations do it nationwide, probably around the world. Yes, Donna wrote that song. But Donna, I have to know how you learned to write music, and I want to know all about your journey to being this rock star.
Oh boy. Well,
no pressure.
I always loved music, and I remember as a little girl, because you know my parents did take me to a church, and I do remember, because I was born in Dallas, and we went to a church there. And there was as a very young child, I would go to the nursery, and there was a lady who was Seventh Adventist that was the nursery worker there. And I really think that she had loved the Lord, and somehow that was imprinted in me. And I had a grandmother who also definitely loved the Lord her whole life. And so I remember just going out and swinging on my swing and in my backyard and just making up songs. And there were songs about, you know, like about God and Jesus and like the devil and spiritual battles and things like that from a very small age. And I wrote a lot of poetry when I was a kid. And so then, and I always loved, I was really drawn to the piano, and I had begged my parents from the time I was 5 years old to get us a piano, and they just didn't want to do that. And then I fell in love with the guitar, and I from the time I was about 8, and I just begged them to get me a guitar, and they finally got me a guitar when I was about 12 years old. And it was a guitar that had it was a used guitar with really heavy gauge steel strings, and it was the action, which is the distance from the strings to the fretboard, was like huge. It was like not in good shape, and I played that guitar. They gave me a chord book. I never took any lessons, and I learned the chords, and I had some songs that I had learned at camp that I had just played over and over, and that's how I learned to play the guitar, just playing chords on this beat up old guitar until my fingers were bleeding, and I just loved it. And I had always loved singing, and had gone to when I was like 8 years old, I was the church that we were going to, which was the one I already told you about. They had a choir director who decided when I was 8 years old he was going to do this music camp, and he started and he taught us music theory, all the different intervals and time signatures and, you know, major and minor chords and things like that. And so that was kind of my basis, and I was in choirs in school and going to this church, so that was my basis for how I just took that and taught myself how to play the guitar. And then I started, and I was writing songs, and especially after I became a believer, then I just would get, as I was studying the Word, I would just have these songs come into my head, and then I would just start, I would figure out what the chords were and you know, write them down and write the words down. And then I ended up having I was reading in the Bible about the parable of the talents and the people that had been given different amounts of talents, and one person who had gone and just buried their talents in the dirt so that, or put it somewhere so that it couldn't be touched and didn't do anything with it. And I just felt in my heart, as I read that, the Lord was saying, you know, I'm not giving you these songs for you to just put in your closet and not do anything with. And so I felt this real burden, which I've felt for my whole life since then, of the stewardship of the songs that I was writing. So I And then about the day after I thought that, then I was driving in my car and I heard this message on the Christian radio station that there was a thing called Praise in the Park and a group of people. This was actually at this point in time, we had two small sons, and my husband's company had moved us up to Salt Lake City, Utah, and we were living in Salt Lake City, Utah. And when our first son was born, we actually had a Calvary Chapel pastor read the Siddur and a Mormon doctor doing the bris with a Jewish believer that I'd met at Calvary Chapel there, witnessing it with us in the doctor's office.
Wow.
So, it was like, I could go into a whole bunch of stories about that whole situation, but this was a ministry that people were doing in Salt Lake City, and they were putting on these concerts, Christian concerts, in the middle of this park, and then as people would come to listen to the music, and so there were a lot of believers up there, and they would come and be drawn to the music, especially the kids, and then people that were associated with the this concert ministry would be walking around and just talking to people and witnessing to them and giving them tracks. And so that was my first involvement in music ministry, where I was going out and doing concerts and things like that. I had earlier been involved in leading worship when we lived in Topanga Canyon in California, and I was at a small church and was leading worship there, but that was my first time that I'd gone out and been actually playing my songs.
And how did you get involved with Messianic music?
So I'd always been involved in Messianic, you know, reading everything that I could about Messianic Jews. And then when I came to, when our kids were 4 and 6, we moved from Salt Lake City. My husband's company, again, moved us down to Las Vegas. And so when we're moving down here, I found a Messianic congregation that was not too far from where we were living. It was the first Messianic congregation in Las Vegas. It was called Etz Chaim, and it was led by Jack Bono, who was and his wife Pearl Bono. Jack Bono has gone on to be with the Lord, but his wife is still living. And we had a Messianic congregation, and they asked me if I would lead the music, and so I just started learning all kinds of Messianic music and started writing Messianic music. And in fact, as we were moving here and driving from Utah to Las Vegas, there, I remember we were driving in the rain, and the windshield wipers were making a particular pattern, and I started singing a song. That song was called "Do You Know the Light of the World?" And then it has the chorus is Yeshua HaMashiach, and so that was as we were moving down to Las Vegas. And I became involved with a group called a Christian Songwriters Fellowship here in Las Vegas, and that was very encouraging to me, where we would write songs and then come share them with each other and then do concerts around all over the Las Vegas Valley. And I was also involved with some prison ministry, and we would go with Prison Fellowship and do worship in Indian Springs Prison out here. So, anyway, I think I got off track from what you were asking me.
Well, that was good. That was good. Tell me about your whole process to writing the song. I think you had it called Baruch Et Adonai originally, and then Paul Wilbur did it, and he called it Blessed Are You. But tell me about writing that song, because as you know, I love it.
Okay, so I thank you. That's such a blessing, and it's such a blessing that, you know, this was the song that I just wrote in the privacy of my time with the Lord in my home, sitting on my bed, and to end up in Paul Wilbur's hands and have him take it all over the world and have people be seeing it all over the world. It's such a blessing to be involved in what he does. He has such a wonderful ministry, and it's mind-boggling to me to think of people all over the world singing that song. But really, that song just poured out of heaven, and I had gone to the Jews for Jesus in-gathering. I think it was in 1989. It was after we had moved here, and I'd gone with a Jewish friend named Andrea and our two kids. My husband had stayed home, and he was working, and so we, and there was a, because I was on their newsletter mailing list, and they were having this songwriter competition, they had all these Messianic songwriters that were coming and playing their songs in this kind of like a talent show or something like that. And so anyway, I had submitted that song that I mentioned to you, Do You Know the Light of the World? And at the time, David Brickner was in charge, who's now the director of Jews for Jesus, the whole organization. But at the time, he was in charge of organizing this talent show. And so I'd sent him the song, and so he invited me to come. And so I went out there, and it was the same weekend as when they had the earthquakes during the World Series. I don't know if you remember that in 1989.
No, but that sounds awful.
Yeah, it was like, I think the Giants, I'm not a big baseball fan, so I hope this is a baseball team. So it's like, I think it was the Giants versus the Oakland A's. I think, I can't remember who the two teams were, but they were, it was two teams, the San Francisco area teams that were playing each other in the World Series. There was a huge earthquake. And so at the time that we went, this was just days after that. And it was, there were huge aftershocks going on. And I just remember my husband saying, like his mother was calling and saying, she took my grandsons where? So we had driven out to this, it was near San Jose or near Santa Cruz up in the mountains. And so we'd gone to the in-gathering and I played that song. And then they had a beautiful Shabbat service, and I had the program from that Shabbat service, and I came home and I was sitting, shortly after that, after I got back home, I was sitting and looking at the program and just reading through the beautiful words of the Siddur. And when I got to the Baruchu, then as I read it, I just, the music and the whole, I looking at the words of the Siddur, it just came out of heaven and just poured down and came out as that song in a very, maybe a half hour or something like that. And most of the time when I have when I write a song, I spend, however much time it takes to do a lot, I pull verses, anything having to do with what I'm writing about, I spend a lot of time studying the word and bringing out all these, I call it like expository lyric writing sort of, and I really just work with it until I like the song and I feel that it's saying what I want it to say. But for that song, it was so immediate, and then I'll never forget, my husband's aunt and uncle were out visiting from Chicago, and they were at our house, and they wanted to hear one of my songs, and I played that song for them, and they were just blown away that their Goy niece had written a song
with
Hebrew.
The Shiksa.
Yeah. So,
how did Paul Wilbur get his hands on it?
Okay, so we had been asked, so I was leading worship at Etzachayim, and we had been asked to play worship for the Luzanne conference. Do you know what that is?
Nope.
On Jewish evangelism? Okay. It's like Lausanne, Switzerland, and it's Messianic leaders from all over the world, including, I think, Tuvia Zaretsky from Jews for Jesus is the head of it right now, and he's been involved in it for years, and so there's many, many people from all over the world that all these Messianic leaders, and they meet, and it's called the Lausanne Conference, and they meet all over the world. So it just happened that they were meeting in Las Vegas at the Gold Coast Hotel, and so we were asked to play. I was asked to play, and I had Ray Chernoff playing with me on the worship team there at Etz Chaim, and then I also had a friend, Shauna Black, who was playing, who played flute, who would come and play with us sometime on Shabbat services. And so, and Ray had been, was a new believer and had been writing songs. His wife became a believer first. And when he, just observing her and what she would, they became a believer after coming to Etz Chaim. And so observing her experiences as a new believer, he began writing Messianic songs. And so he started helping me, and we became a worship team. And so we went and played at this meeting, and Moshe Rosen was at the meeting, and he said, you know, you really need to, he came up afterwards and said, you really need to record these songs so that they can bless the world. And so we said okay, and so we did that, and then we were a group called Water to Wine, and so we didn't play, we recorded this album, which was distributed by a record label that was up in the Northwest, and then which eventually folded, and so we didn't have distribution. And so my husband had, when that happened, he was just trying to find, he found a wonderful publisher for me who's handled all the business side, because I'm not even interested in that. So, mm-hmm. And then, and he also had just in trying to find another way to get that record out there, he had sent it to Integrity, and somehow it ended up on the desk of Pete Kipley, who is the A&R guy for the for Paul Wilbur's Jerusalem Arise record.
Uh-huh.
And Pete Kipley later on went on to become the producer for Mercy Me and their records that just became very well known, and so, but he said that he told me that he had the stack of CDs on his desk, and that was one of them, and so he put it on, and they needed one more song. There was somebody else whose song that they were supposed to use, but they couldn't, but all the business side of it, they couldn't get it worked out with him quick enough, and so they called. They were looking for another song, and then he said he put that CD on, and when that song came on, it was just like that was it. And so he was calling me, and so I just, after I picked my jaw off the floor, I told him I had a publisher and they needed to call her, and she would deal with all that stuff that, like, if I hadn't had her, I know that I would have. I'm not good at just returning phone calls to people, you know? So I probably the same thing would have happened to me that happened to the person whose song didn't get used. So I look back on all my life and everything that's happened in my life. The Lord just led me so clearly and brought things together that I didn't do, you know. I never know what I'm doing. The Lord just, you know, I've had so many answers to prayer all through my life where, you know, I said, Lord, just please show me what to do here. And then something happens like the next day or, you know, within minutes, that is such a clear answer to prayer that is something so out of the blue and random that would have never happened unless it were an answer to prayer. So,
amen. Amen.
So, So God just obviously arranged that whole thing, and it's just been, I'm just so blessed that the song that I wrote could touch people all over the world and be used to glorify and honor God.
Oh, absolutely. Believe it or not, Donna, we have actually run out of time. But real quickly, if somebody wanted to get a copy of the CD, Water to Wine, and hear some of your songs, what would be the best way to do that?
So I do have a website. It's kind of in its, it's being developed as we speak, but it is online, and it's just DonnaMilgatenMusic.com. And so that is, there are some songs on there that people can listen to. I am in the middle of working, I'm a teacher, and I've been working on a new record for the last 23 years or so. And it's been 95% finished for quite a while now.
Ooh.
So anyway, I will let you know when that's done. But I think the CD is also available on, I think you can order it on Amazon or maybe CD Baby. And I think it's on Spotify also.
Water to Wine. Excellent. Well, I am so glad that I found you. I'm never going to let you go.
Oh, I hope not. It's just been so great getting to know you over the phone and talking to you. And I love your ministry. And I did hear from Mindy, and she sends her love from Messianic Dance Camp. She's a really dear, she and Ralph are dear friends of ours, and her daughters.
That's wonderful. Yeah. Well, may the Lord bless all that you do. May He continue to give you new visions, words, music, dreams, all of it. And may He just bless all that you do and say, and your husband, and I'm very thankful for you, and I love your music.
Oh, well, praise the Lord, and Baruch Hashem Adonai.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Donna. I hope to talk to you again soon, okay?
Thank you.
Sure.
Bye.
All right, shalom. Well, that was a fun interview with Donna Milgaten. I hope you've enjoyed her music and that you've enjoyed the program today. But our time has now run out, and it's time for the Aaronic Benediction with Phil Klein.
Yivarechech Adonai v'yismorecha Yager Adonai panav alecha v'ikunecha Yisa Adonai Panam Alecha V'yasem Lecha Shalom.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. This is Ethel Chadwick saying Shalom Aleichem, peace be with you. Remember, every day of your life is an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. Shalom.